It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Name it like this and name it like this.
Okay.
And then everyone will be able to hear you really well and just kind of hear us.
Nobody wants to hear from either of you guys, okay? Let's just get started. My God. All right. Yeah, welcome to Science Friction, episode 15. I'm your host, Asterios Kokonos.
We're whispering. We're outside the AMC movie theater in Times Square. New York City, everybody. My God. When you're in New York, concrete jungle that dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do, only in New York, New York.
All right, guys, I got Eric Larnick here. He's terrified of what's happening, and it's real funny to me, and I'm really bearing down on him. Eric, say hi.
Hello to everyone.
Okay, also, we got Jason Picker here, one of my good buddies, LA comedian, worldwide actor, and he's also, look, usually I ask for, wait, say something.
Hey, okay, how's it going?
Okay, yeah, now back to me, please. Because it's like, if you don't say something, like, it'll sound like I'm being rude, but I do need to get all this exposition out. Because I've got your Jeopardy factoid in my pocket. You wrote the commercial that was... We can't talk about that?
No, I didn't write the commercial. Okay, so on a previous Science Friction episode, you were talking. Someone was in a Wendy's commercial that was banned.
Ed Galvez.
He was like...
the casting was racist, so...
All right,
they took away jobs from a Mexican guy and an Indian guy, so that racism couldn't happen.
Here's what happened. After that spot came out, it didn't test very well amongst old people. Old people didn't like it.
They hate Ed Galvez.
Right, they hate Ed Galvez. I think everyone knows old people hate Ed Galvez. So the client came to the agency I was working at the time, and they said, we have this spot. What should we do with it? And I was like, oh, here's what we should do. You should let me post that on my YouTube under the title Banned Wendy's Commercial, and I'll write a thing where I say that I don't work for Wendy's anymore, because they're about to leave us as a client anyway, and say that this commercial was banned, and here it is, because I don't work for them anymore. And then, so we did that. They approved that. They let me put the commercial on my personal YouTube, and when you search Banned Wendy's Commercial, it takes you to my YouTube and that Ed Galvez spot. But it didn't even work the way it was supposed to, because we put the video out and then no one watched it. They didn't buy any media to it. And then like a year later, it was on some forum or something, like my back when YouTube used to email you every time there was a comment.
Yes.
So my, I believe it was my Hotmail at the time, was blinging like crazy one Saturday morning, and everyone was talking about Banned Wendy's Commercial because it was on some forum somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
I uploaded an episode of Darkwing Duck once. It didn't mean I created Darkwing Duck.
I didn't say
that's your
I
story.
It. No, I didn't
you're
say I created it.
You got
I didn't. That
you're
is
the
my
uploader.
YouTube. That is my YouTube.
Wait, are you getting any revenue off that?
No.
Why don't you monetize that commercial?
Because then I could. Then they could ask me to take it down because I'm making money off.
Okay.
It.
But if you sign up to stamps.com using the promo code
BAND, Asterios.
Using the promo code BAND, BANNED, he'll get 20% off his next delivery.
Who likes going to the post office? Nobody.
No one likes going to the post office.
No, it's
the
hassle.
Holidays are coming.
What a,
Busiest holiday card sending time of the
Wait,
year.
Wait, hold on. We have not set up this affiliate program. Do not go to stamps.com and type that code in. You're not going to get anything.
No. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to stamps.com and type in the word banned. And then when it doesn't work, I want you to take a screen cap of what you see. And I want you to tweet at stamps.com. The show Science Friction told us that they were advertising a commercial for you. This promo code doesn't work. You got to talk to the people at Science Friction. Then
you get that money.
So everybody go to stamps.com/banned. And look, it's not a great product. Like, because the problem is, what you have to do is... Because they're like, it comes with $50 worth of free stamps. But it's like, every 50-cent stamp costs like 75 cents. And it's like, that's how they make their money on stamps.com. Like, you don't realize, like, oh, you're buying this postage at a premium. Because otherwise, why would stamps.com exist? Terrible product. They catch you by surprise every time. Is it really that hard to go to the post office? They have the machine now. Do you ever wait in line for the machine, Eric?
Well, they only do half days on Saturdays, and that's pretty rough for me. Because they close before I wake up.
Just...
So it's like, when else am I going to go to the post office?
Is the machine... Because, okay, at least where I live, there's the machine is open 24 hours a day.
The machine is behind doors.
Yeah, it's usually behind, like, locked doors.
Oh, they lock those doors by you guys?
Yeah, in civilized areas.
Oh, because... Well, I mean, there are a lot of homeless people sleeping in that vestibule where, because like I can, sometimes I'm in there at 3 a.m. just sending mail, guys, just shoving that shit out there in the world. Okay, guys, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm taking us off track. Bottom line, stamps.com, don't use it, but go to stamps.com/band and then remember everything else I said. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We're actually in the AMC.
We're in the AMC. We just saw Justice League. This is our live reaction. You're hearing it like it's so hot and current and real, Eric.
This is the real-time thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, guys, the first game we're going to play is called Good Thing About Justice League, Bad Thing About Justice League. We're all going to go around. Let's all start with a good thing about Justice League. You'll get tickets based on... and how I feel about what you say. Let's go.
Go ahead.
Good thing about Justice League, The Flash. The Flash, hilarious Asperger's-y character. Yep. So funny. Him and Superman have a really funny thing going on. A joy to watch anytime The Flash is doing his thing.
Okay, Eric, what's your take on this Flash guy?
I liked him. I think he was given a lot more time to... joke than I think maybe... I feel like he became a Joss Whedon-proof character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious to know what Zack Snyder's Flash humor was going to sound like.
Oh, my God. That's such a good... What was the Flash going to be like? No. Like, I can't outrun my nightmares. I can't outrun the fact that I'm not cool. Like, what would that have been?
A lot of random non sequiturs.
And he wouldn't have been Jewish.
Yeah. Like, I don't think
Joss Whedon sets him up as Jewish, makes it clear. We finally got a hero in a universe, guys.
Yeah.
We did it. Yay, Jews.
Okay, so here's a nice thing I'm going to say about this movie. It was very clear what was happening at every moment. I was never confused. Because it's like, sometimes they'll just explain something twice. They'll be like, we need these boxes or it's the end. And then the bad guy will be like, once I get the boxes, it'll be the end. It's like, I know. But I liked it because I'm like, you know what? If I were a little kid and I was watching this movie, I'd be like, yeah, this is like a fucking cartoon. Be like, this is as good as my cartoons and I like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something about that where I was like, you know, if you're real young or real dumb, like, you might really need like Wonder Woman to be like, oh man, I miss Chris Pine, like in every scene. Because if you're a kid, you got to be like, right, Chris Pine.
He's got to have a little bit of that Twilight demographic, that Harry Potter demographic, because that Hunger Games demographic, because it's November. That's the time of year when Twilight and Harry Potter,
they all come out in November.
Games all came out, and they don't have that anymore. So Wonder Woman is filling that YA angst demographic.
I think, and what I just like, yes, it's always clear what's happening because at least for the first 45 minutes or so, every single scene starts with 2, 3, 4 lines of exposition. Just like, hey, you are this character. This is what's interesting about you. And this is why there's a conflict going on. And then there's a couple minutes of dialogue, maybe a joke here and there, and then it ends with a back and forth line like they don't hold power, they are power. Or,
and those are similar because in the movie Batman's like, these boxes hold incredible power, and then Wonder Woman was like, no, they are incredible power. And it's like, well, okay, I mean, but Batman, that's pretty much what Batman was talking about. Like, Batman wasn't saying, like, these are totally safe boxes and there's no problems with them. No, Bruce. There's big problems with them. Very big problems.
Sacre bleu.
What is this show?
What? This is, okay. You get 5 tickets. Good job.
Thank you.
You get 5 tickets. I forgot. Okay, what is this show?
So right. We both get 5 tickets, well, because listeners can't point.
I just got 5 tickets for being here.
No, wait. Okay. The Flash didn't always pull it off, but at the same time, they really lean on that actor a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like they throw to that guy constantly for, hey, that's interesting. This guy's interesting. And it's like, you know, you can't ask this guy to carry the movie. He's kind of like the Tony Stark of this movie, where it's like, he's the most reliable actor.
I was going to say he's like the Spider-Man in the Avengers 3 of the movie. Just like,
no, Spider-Man was funnier than this guy, I think.
Oh, yeah, but DC's always a shittier version of the Marvel version, so I feel like they were really plugging and playing and saying, okay, Spider-Man would have done something quippy here. Here's where we're going to have the Flash do something.
If I'm going to reference another superhero franchise to talk about the Flash, I would say in the X-Men movie universe.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
If the X-Men movie universe is stand-up comedy, Quicksilver, yes, is the why don't they just build the whole plane out of the black box joke. Because Quicksilver exists. Why don't they just make a whole X-Men movie around Quicksilver?
Very similar scenes.
And that's kind of what this was. It was like, oh, what if they didn't do the Quicksilver-led X-Men movie? Why don't we just do that with the Flash? And that's kind of what we got.
Well, I feel like they definitely made sure to set up that, yeah, the Flash is being really helpful, but he can't be a hero all on his own. Like, he needs Batman to tell him to save people. Like, what kind of hero needs someone to tell them to, oh, you're really fast and you're afraid of fighting? Go save some people. Like, that should be second nature, probably.
They were running into a hostage situation, and they knew about it.
Yeah.
This guy can't think. I should probably... That's a very good... That's another 5 tickets right there. Yes. See, that's how this game works. The moment I remember that there's a game show element to the show, and it's not just nerds talking, I start just, like, throwing tickets out.
Where are my physical tickets?
I forgot them. I forgot the prizes, too.
It's like Dave and Buster's. We're going to rack up a bunch of points, but not have enough for anything at the end.
Yeah, I mean, we could go... All right, I'll take you guys to write it after this, and we'll go get some toys. The winner gets the better toy.
Right.
Okay.
That's the real cutscene of this DC movie night.
Wait, say something nice about this movie. You haven't done it yet.
All right, so I'm going to say one nice thing about this movie and one nice thing about this podcast. The good thing about this podcast is that, just for the people at home, so we're conducting this right outside the theater. We're right here in the AMC. Like, literally, the movie just faded to black moments ago, and we're just right there, and security has passed by us a couple
times.
Doesn't care. They keep coming by. They just keep looking at us.
I told you guys, we are non-threatening.
Yeah.
You look at us and you say to yourself, like, I pity these men and what they're doing.
So, that was a good thing about the podcast.
Sure. This is my take on this.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping us and asking us what we're doing and asking us to leave is more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
You might have to, like, fill out a form then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No. We're fine.
Yeah.
Look at us. We're harmless.
Just 3 30-something bearded men hanging out in a movie theater.
One of us is wearing corduroy. Yeah. One of us is wearing flannel. And one of us is wearing a zip-up hoodie. It's like, we really got to change some stuff about ourselves.
I'm married.
I'm married to my love of comic book movies.
Did you love this comic book? Oh, wait, what's the nice thing about Justice League?
The nice thing about this movie is...
5 points to Jason for keeping things on track.
Yeah. No.
He can get the points, but he doesn't get any tickets.
I said points, not tickets.
He went for points, not tickets. He's the loser in this bargain.
Okay, you know what? Eric,
mm-hmm.
You're getting 5 tickets. Good defense.
Right.
B, all this is being edited out, so those tickets you just got are meaningless.
It's not. This is definitely in the show.
All right, what? Say something.
There's a woman on a walkie-talkie looking at us and talking about us right now.
No, she's not.
She is.
She's talking about other people. We are literally we're not a problem. We're not. You have to trust me on this. See, you guys are acting all jittery and shaky.
I'm actually not. I'm just thinking about my answer.
Just say something.
I was about to, but I've been interrupted. I would say what I like about this movie was it didn't try to... It cut around the bullshit of, you know, when Kevin Smith talked about he was going to do the Superman movie, he had to come up with like all these crazy names like Thanagarian Werebat and Kryptonian Orc Monster and all of that. And this, they didn't do any of that. It was just like, the box can't touch the fluid.
Yes.
They just referred to everything like it was a CD-ROM game. It was the element in a CD-ROM game. It was great. So for people who are on the spectrum, it's inclusive to them in terms of recognizing the narrative structure, because it's about shapes, geometrical shapes, puzzles being solved, box can't touch the fluid.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, putting aside those who are on the spectrum, it's just like, it's just nice to not have to do that much work. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I want to be told what they need, why they need it. Go ahead and tell me a couple times, because the first time, I probably wasn't paying attention. What if I have to go pee, which I did, and I did pee. It was great. Like, what if I need more Fanta Orange Zero, which I did need? Those machines, you can make yourself a Coke Zero that's got orange flavoring. 5 tickets to that. That's a really good soda.
I mean, you're simplifying, because you can get the Coke Orange and then mix that with the Sprite Raspberry and the, you know, Dasani sparkling and just go crazy with it. I personally am a fan of the sparkling and then a topper of Sprite Orange Zero.
Yeah, I had some Sprite Orange Zero once. That's a real good drink. 5 tickets for that too.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what they do in these wonder machines, but I'm telling you right now that where they're just like, you can have any soda. I know a lot of people make fun of those machines, but because here's the thing, it takes a long time. You're at that screen for like 10 minutes deciding, and I am too. It's almost too much choice. Eric, are you ever paralyzed when you go to these Coca-Cola, Wonder Fountain, any drink machines?
Freestyle machine.
I mean, we all already have diabetes, you know? So it's like, there's nothing to lose. It's just like, just go nuts.
I don't know. Haven't you seen those ads that there are no-cal and low-cal and less sugar options, and also watch your portion size from Dr. Pepper, Coke, and Pepsi?
You have 30 different options for artificial sweeteners. You can just go to town like it's your last day on Earth. You have Thelma and Louise style on your kidneys. That's the kind of soda you can make.
See, I like that they're both poison. Because it's like, oh, this sugar's poisoning me. Or this aspartame's poison. It's like, you just can't win, so you shouldn't play. But they're like, you can stab yourself in the guts or in the eyes. It's like, oh, thanks for the options.
Both at once, please.
Yeah, I'll make a suicide of them while I commit suicide. 5 tickets to Coconuts. Eric, you were saying?
Well, I'm an old school gentleman, Minute Maid, pink lemonade kind of guy.
Hot.
I like to keep it straight. Keep it simple. Keep it classy.
You almost won the game right there.
For the men.
I really do like Minute Maid Pink Lemonade. I'm not kidding. I almost just gave him the game, but I forgot we have a lot more games to play.
Minute Maid Pink Lemonade is for men. Mountain Dew Code Red is for boys.
Does Code Red still exist?
It doesn't make it not for boys if you can't currently get it. It would be. It's like be like Fisher Price is for kids. It's like, wait, is there a Fisher Price rock stack here? Well, no, but it is for kids.
No, but Fisher Price is still a thing that exists, and it is for children.
I'll get you a can of Code Red right now.
Can you? Right now. Right this second.
Okay, hold on.
Amazon drone drop this shit.
I'm finding us Code Red. It's New York.
I don't know.
We live in a city of unlimited opportunity.
It was a thing when I was 14. Like, is it still a thing?
The city stays up all the time.
Code Red.
Never sleeps.
Code Red.
Chugging Code Red.
Code Red.
Should we? Code Red started on the streets. Now, uh-huh. Code Red is staying on the streets.
Should we start talking about the bad real parts
Brooklyn
of
tough Justice Code Red? League?
No, look, give me a sec. I'm looking for Mountain Dew Code Red, please. I mean, give me a sec.
Sorry.
Code Red, okay. Oh, wait. Now. I got to type in the word now. Right now. And I'm going to go to me.
That's how searching works.
Mountain Dew Code Red, to me, right now, delivery.
Guys, so many women just like run out of Bad Moms Christmas randomly to the bathroom. It's happened 3 times.
That's their Avengers. That's their Justice League. They want to see the girls they watched on TV when they were kids having the problems they're having now. And God bless the Bad Moms Christmas. By the way, those are some terrible moms.
They're bad.
Yeah. One of them, SIDS is her baby. That's how she joins the Bad Moms Club.
Wait. She gives her baby SIDS?
Yeah.
She kills her baby?
Suddenly.
That's
her, dark. Not just her baby, her infant to death. Syndrome. You know who did that? You know who did that? Yeah. Syndrome from The Incredibles. That's exactly right.
Sorry.
All right. Where's my code red? Okay, now let's all hear something bad about Justice League. Come on. Jason, you go first.
Okay. A bad thing about Justice League, you were talking about how they kind of treat everything like a CD-ROM, and I felt like a lot of times it looked like a CD-ROM. There are some scenes where the green screen just gets ridiculous. One stands out in my mind, Clark and Lois standing in what's supposed to be a field of corn, but is very clearly like six stalks of fake corn that reach up to the middle of their chest and then a whole lot of green screen.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Aquaman talking to Aqua Girl when like Aqua Girl like makes a bubble of air and like they talk to each other. Here's my guess. Any scene where all the characters are standing in one place talking to each other, that's Joss Whedon. I think they were like, Joss Whedon, we're giving you a green screen. We're giving you a shot and a reverse shot. Can you please fix this? Because all of the middle is already made. It's computer graphics crap that like we can't do anything with.
It took 9 months to render. It'll cost more to stop the render than continue the render. The render must be completed at all costs, even if it means completely rewriting the movie around it.
And that's totally, but I like that, because that's a challenge where it's like, Joss, you can really stretch the middle of everything. You know what I mean? It's like Aquaman's got to run down, not stop a bad guy. But then it's like, all right, now you can like, Whedon can go like, freeze. Let's see a little sketch with these characters in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's definitely what's going on. It's like, everyone's like, the world is so serious right now. And then it's like, oh, let's get a little bit goofy.
They literally have a scene where The Flash and Cyborg dig up Superman's grave. Is that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern that dug the grave?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like they do like this whole, and it's like, okay, that's Joss Whedon did that. Zack Snyder wouldn't. Zack Snyder would never be like, I'm going to have a scene where just two guys are talking while
alas,
they're digging up a grave.
Alas, Martian Manhunter. I knew him well.
But the thing is, they had an eternal flame at Superman's grave, and they would never have an eternal flame at Martian Manhunter's. I'm going to have to deduct 5 tickets for that, Eric.
Ooh, take that, pink lemonade. It's gone.
That's what I get.
I'm taking 5 tickets away from you for poor sportsmanship. Don't revel in the love.
And then take away 5 minutes of his life.
And then I'll take away 5 minutes, and you're like, boom!
Oh!
That's right. Okay, here's 5 more tickets.
Yeah.
In fact, you can both have your tickets back.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yay!
All right, here's some. Okay, 5 tickets for that. All those shot, reverse shot scenes where people are just talking. Bad. At the same time, I love them because it's like, yeah, I bet this was fun to just hang out on set all day and just riff. Am I alone on that?
It was probably the first time they ever got to riff.
Yes!
In the 15 months of production that the Justice League had. It was kind of like as daunting and as epic a production as the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. But you know what? When they first attempted this, they produced Lord of the Rings, like one of the most like visually epic, audacious filmmaking challenges ever. And this time around, they got the Justice League.
It exists.
Yeah, they certainly made that movie.
Did you not like this movie? I can't tell with you. What's going on here, Eric?
Okay.
Be as clear in your opinion as the Justice League is in we gotta find 3 boxes. And if they touch, it's bad news, brother. Also, the bad guy has literal devil's horns, which I love. Where he's just, like, he goes like, ah, yes, come to me, mother of horrors. And it's like, so wait, so this guy's from a universe where that's good? Because that's bad. There's no, it's, what, is he from the Bizarreverse? Like, where he's like, ah, yes, I poo with my penis, and I brush my teeth with shampoo. I put shoes on my hands. Like, mother of horrors. He says that where he's just like, I'm mother of horrors. I've done some good work today. It's like, what's wrong with you, Steppenwolf? What's wrong with you, Steppenwolf?
Isn't he supposed to be like a son of chaos or something like that?
Actually, Steppenwolf Oh, Steppenwolf is he's like an old school farmer. So when he's talking about his mother of horrors, he's actually talking about his wife.
No.
And they sleep in separate beds.
Is this for like, real?
Mother of horrors?
No.
I have to get up early tomorrow and rain Armageddon upon Atlantis.
So it's like Alan Peg Bundy. And then Mother of Horrors is like, Steppenwolf, I want you to take me shopping and have sex with me. I want you to have sexual relations with me. The fact that you don't want to. I'm Katie Sagal. I'm a super attractive, at this point, like 31-year-old actress. The joke is no one wants to have sex with me. It's like, what the hell? Who's really? Al's going to turn down Katie Sagal looked great in that show. Back me up on this for 5 tickets.
She looked amazing.
Okay, Eric,
tight
what do you
clothing.
Think, though?
About Katie
Sagal. Yeah, Katie Sagal.
All right, I'm just going to be honest. You want the clearest...
As Peg Bundy.
You want the clearest Justice League exposition level take.
Yes, please.
The first thing I think of when I think of Katie Sagal as Peg Bundy is that season where Peggy was supposed to be pregnant, and then the actress had a miscarriage.
Yeah, that's 10 tickets for honesty, Eric.
And ruined what could have been an amazing raising of the stakes for Married with Children.
So they had.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say ruined. I did not mean to put blame on her for having a miscarriage.
Eric, you've already earned your tickets.
That was a.
You did. You just blamed her for having a miscarriage and ruining a season of a TV show.
Listen, I was 8. You know, I.
And my mind, like, I want a miscarriage.
My mind went to a lot of punchlines, and then I didn't get to see them happen.
But you saw 7.
Yeah, 7 was okay.
Did it really expand the universe of storytelling that much for them to have another kid?
There would have been a whole episode where Al has to change a dirty diaper. They would have done a full 30 minutes on that.
Okay.
He would have been like, no, ma'am.
Yeah.
Now, you see, the thing is,
today we talk about, the Chinese restaurant episode of Seinfeld.
Right.
But we could have had a reality where we talk about the greatest 30 minutes of television comedy when Al Bundy would have to change his newborn baby's poopy diaper for the first time.
I'm going to pitch another episode. What's the name of the daughter? Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Kelly loses the baby at the mall.
That's much better.
Well, no, they're both good episodes.
No,
because
but
the thing is, you build a little robot that like pees all over Ed O'Neill. I'm telling you right now, that's an Emmy-winning episode. Ed O'Neill, you give him that obstacle, and he can play against that for 30 minutes. Eric, that's 10 tickets.
Also, totally an episode where Bud is going to throw a party, but then he can't. He has to babysit his brother, so he decides to do both.
No, there's also definitely the episode where he has to babysit. Someone thinks it's hot that he's a single dad.
Yes,
and
yes,
he tries to
yes.
pass that baby off as his own.
That's a whole episode. I love it. He's got a bond to pay me for the date. He's like treating his baby like it's a pet.
Yeah.
But in the end of that episode, he has the opportunity to either go home with a beautiful lady and have sex, or have to whisper some at the AMC, or... Because the baby all of a sudden sees a toy that they take the baby on the date to like a Funko land. The baby sees a toy that reminds him of his favorite toy at home, and the baby starts to cry. And Bud goes, I'm sorry, I got to take him home. He misses his Bonko. And it's like, you know, you thought that Bud would have sold out this kid to go and fool around with this lady, but he really loves him.
And then it cuts to him just like throwing the baby at Al and then running out of the house to go get laid by that lady.
Eric, can you confirm or deny that? And by the way, I really want to know what happened. I'm really trying to craft this season. And in fact, that's our second game. Genuinely craft the season of Married with Children where the Bundys raise baby Bundy. Now, so far, I've got a great episode. Kelly loses the baby. Eric's got a great episode. Baby diaper Al Bundy, like, sort of elevator episode shenanigans. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Wait, you're not counting the episode where he tries to pass the baby off as his own that we just talked about moments ago?
Oh, my God. I thought that was my idea.
No, that was
my
idea. I loved
it so much. Well,
but you had a good... Your idea was a separate idea.
I think it was the rooms.
You're right.
I think it's like, you know... Hold on. Eric, can you
feel like
this
a
for
piece
a second?
Of shit sure. now. I feel like a piece of shit because, yeah, you're never supposed to take credit for ideas when it exists in a room. You're right.
Jason, what's going on here, man? Do you not feel appreciated enough?
You know, it's just, you're saying, you're looking to me and saying, what idea do you have? And I'm literally the last person who just pitched an idea.
I feel like your idea might have inspired my idea, which is like...
The same idea?
I mean, I think that there's like a nugget that you, I think you might have like said the word that like, you know, kind of like the hummingbird flaps their wings and then they, it kicks that. And then I think my thing is like man's evolution.
Well, hold on. I thought the episodes were party episode. He wants to throw a party.
And I think on that party episode, just, I want to get this Faith No More makes a cameo as like slacker dudes who are at the party.
I love it.
Okay, that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, but now we have to decide whose episode is best. And by we, I mean me. I mean, come on, guys. All right. Kelly Loses the Baby is actually not super. That's third place because it's like, unless that baby goes on a baby's day out style adventure.
Love it.
Like pranking, like messing with security guards Bundy style where it's just like this baby's having the time of this baby's life.
It's like a baby problem child.
Exact. It's baby's day out meets scenes from a mall. Okay, but that's still third place.
Can you name the other two ideas?
No. Let's move on to our next game. No, I can. I'm having so much trouble deciding between them. They're both such good episodes. I gotta give it to Ed O'Neill though, because you put a camera on Ed O'Neill and that's an Emmy.
Yeah.
Also,
that was your idea.
Yeah.
That's the points premise, to you. Take it to you.
Even, take it.
Premise isn't even like that great. You see that on the index card and you're like, why is that good? And it's like, oh, Ed O'Neill will tell you why that's good.
Yeah. That's a showcase for Ed O'Neill.
Oh, yeah.
This is an acting challenge for him, putting him in a box, and he's going to get out.
He was almost Al Swearengen. Did you guys know that on Deadwood?
I did not know that.
And then some HBO executive was like, they'll never believe him as Al Swearengen. They'll only look at him and see Al Bundy. And it's like, yeah, that's right. Sorry, he's so good at this character that we still remember him, HBO. Bullshit.
Wait, wasn't he in John from Cincinnati?
Yeah. But it's like, that guy could have been Al Swearengen.
And yeah. John from Cincinnati, JC.
Yeah, he's Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's Jesus, guys. Much like Superman is Jesus in Justice League.
Oh, yeah, right. We saw Justice League. Okay. Now we're going to play another game. Eric, you get 10 tickets. That was better. Your episode was better.
I did also want to say I kind of visualized the stinger at the end of the episode. Cuts. Somehow, you know, it's like Al gets through the ordeal. And at the end of the episode, you know, people are coming back home. And Marcy comes over to look at the baby who's in his baby seat. And it cuts to baby's eye view. And you just see Marcy hovering over the camera. And then you hear like a baby giggle. And you just see a stream of baby pee pop up freeze frame.
Ah.
Audience applause.
This is... Now that's good because that's a Bundy right there. You've established him as a Bundy. I love it. Really good work. Really good work, Eric. I'm really proud of you.
Also, really helped. Podcast listeners might not know that, Eric, you did freeze frame when you said freeze frame, and I really sold it, I think.
Yes. Good.
I've been working on this pitch for 7 years, just waiting for the right opportunity to make it.
This is so good. Guys, we'll be right back right after this.
This holiday, Huda Man, Yoda Man. When you can bring home the ultimate Jedi Master in the biggest lightsaber-wielding adventure ever, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Plus, this DVD is jammed with over 6 hours of even more fun and excitement you can watch again and again. Star Wars Episode II. Yoda, the man, available on DVD and VHS, rated PG.
Podcasting.
Oh, look at those cute little boys with their podcasting hobby.
I'm telling you right now.
Such good, wholesome gentlemen, just having a podcast.
Everything's a podcast now, man. Nobody cares. Every single one of these people walking by is like, are they on Libsyn or maybe one of them set up their own server?
This is the nightmare Philip K. Dick warned us about.
Exactly. You know, in the movie 1984, based on the book 1942 by Steven Spielberg. 1944?
Oh, you're thinking of Steven Spielberg's 1947.
Yeah.
His alternate universe World War II movie, where
exactly.
It kept going.
where it just once you pump, you can't stop with War and Pringles alike.
The man loves imagining more dead Jews.
Yeah, Stephen, what's up with that? Man, you can't live in fear, Steve. And also, stand up for Ilya Kazan. I know he ratted people out, but it's like, what, you wouldn't have, Steven Spielberg, you fucking daddy's boy? He would have ratted people out during the... Oh my God, are you kidding me? I'd be like, Yakko, Wacko, and Dot are all collaborators.
I'm pretty sure he ratted people out during John Landis's, you know, trial about that thing.
Yeah. Oh, damn!
Yeah, exactly, because he... Filmmaker's Code. So a couple of people... So something happened on the set of the Twilight Zone movie. Stuff happens. How else do you want to go out? Do you want to go out doing what you love? Being in the John Landis short in the Twilight movie vignette series?
I just want to listen to that opening song that describes how shitty our world is right now.
Which one? You mean from the Twilight Zone movie?
Are we talking about from the Twilight Zone movie?
No, from the movie we just watched.
Oh, what? I don't want to talk about the Justice League. Here's what I want to talk about. And the sky's in gold when the bullet hits the bone. It's the Twilight. Well, that's the song for the Twilight Zone movie, right? When the bullet hits the bone. Eric, what's the song? Where the bullet hits the butt. Eric, come on. You know the song. Just sing it with me.
Well, I know the Ventures surf rock version.
Now we're going to the Twilight Zone. Everybody's scared of the Twilight Zone. And you're all alone when the bullet hits the bone. Eric, you know this. Don't sell me out like this, Eric.
I'm waiting to do the surf rock Ventures guitar solo. So in the middle. It comes in the middle.
Oh, wait. You're right. Take it, Eric! That's exactly right. All right.
Twilight Zone, Twilight Zone.
When the saber hits the bone. All right, guys. Now... Look, I want to try to find a way to do this next round without telling jokes. I mean, tell them if you want, but, like, I don't... I think that this is an actually interesting challenge I'm going to raise here. So, in the Justice League movie, they do their best... Okay, this round is called... How do we make... This round is called Fixing Aquaman, but without trying to be funny about it. Now, because here's the thing. In this movie, they really try to fix Aquaman. They're like, he's sexy... He's like a punk, he's a rebel. But then, all of a sudden, he surfs down a dead bug. Remember when he like uses a dead bug as a surfboard and surfs down a dead bug? And it's
yes.
Okay, first off, here's what I think would have been awesome. If in the very next scene, Batman had also surfed down a dead bug and done like a better surf job and be like, I'm the ultimate dead bug surfer, I'm Batman. By the way, love, first thing we see in this movie, Batman fighting an alien bug. I was like, yeah, I like this movie. This is our first fight. I'm into this. Jason, what do you think?
what do I think about fixing Aquaman without being funny about it?
I want to hear a way to... Because look, they tried to fix Aquaman. They casted the sexiest guy they could.
Yeah.
They had him be a rebel, but it's like, no, it still doesn't... It didn't work.
You know what the problem is? Aquaman's power, and they made fun of it a couple times in the movie, his power has always been talking to fish and being able to get fish to do what he wants them to do. So what Aquaman should have been doing is, rather than just depending on six people, he should have been bringing an army of marine life together. All of the whales taking out the bugs, like tortoises, they've been alive for hundreds of years.
I didn't see one sea turtle.
There was not one.
No.
There was no marine life whatsoever.
I am going to say that for real, there should have been a scene where a shark or a whale...
Or both?
Did yes. something. Or like where a bunch of starfishes... Like, or he didn't use his fish powers. What the hell?
Because wouldn't you love to see Cyborg throwing a shark straight at an alien?
Yes.
Yes.
It's like, why didn't we see that? You're absolutely right. 10 tickets. Because they fit in every single one of Superman's powers. And he's in the movie for like 4 minutes. He uses heat vision twice. He uses cold breath. He uses his super speed. He uses his super strength.
They could have had Aquaman surrounded at one moment, surrounded by a theater in the round of parademons. And suddenly you hear the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh whips and you see octopus tentacles wrapped around the ankle of each parademon and yank them into the ocean?
Yes. Thank you.
I completely agree with this. And again, I'll give you another 5 tickets because you did a really good job, Jason. That would have made things better. All right, Eric.
All right. This is my real answer. I am not trying to be funny.
Good.
I am 100% serious with the next thing I'm about to say. And I might lose some of your listeners. Yeah. I understand. It might be outside their frame of reference, but it has to be said. This is the take that needs to be put out there.
Uh-huh.
Do everything they did. Just do it all over. Do everything the same they did with Aquaman. But instead of Jason Momoa, it's Roman Reigns.
No.
Yes.
That is, I'm sorry. When I said no, I meant no, comma, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Roman Reigns would have been better. He's got more sex appeal. Like, that's 10 tickets right there. That's really good.
Roman Reigns, the WWE superstar, the future of WWE, the leader of the new generation. Some compare him to Jason Momoa physically. And after watching Jason Momoa's performance tonight, I thought, well, if this is what they want Aquaman to be, I think Roman Reigns could carry it a little bit better.
I feel like I agree with you that I want a WWE superstar in there to be able to like beat some shit down. I just worry that Roman Reigns, it doesn't hit the the mom quadrant enough. We're trying to create a 4 quadrant movie here.
You send your mom a picture of Roman Reigns, and you tell me if she goes like, oh, that's a handsome guy. Because Roman Reigns is...
It's not just about handsome. They already think he's sexy from Game of Thrones.
I know. Well, that's what... Look, I don't begrudge them their choice. I actually think Jason Momoa did a really good job. I just think Roman Reigns will do a better job.
Jason Momoa made inappropriate jokes at Comic-Con appearances concerning the R word with women.
Wow.
He was very problematic about it.
Well, then we should all start a witch hunt and get out of this movie.
That already happened. The witch hunt already happened.
Oh, I missed it.
It was in between the witch hunt for Ben Affleck, Batman, and the witch hunt for Brett Ratner, the producer.
Of course.
Also, don't forget Joss Whedon's involved.
Oh, right.
This is a 4 per film.
And then...
4 quadrants?
There was also... But Gal Gadot also... There was a witch hunt about Gal Gadot and her nationality.
Oh, she's,
and
she's Israeli.
I didn't use that word. That's just...
It's not a bad... Israeli isn't a bad word.
That's the conversation that's out there. You know, I like to have...
As a Jew, I just want to make it clear, Israeli is not a bad word.
The most politically neutral language possible. So,
Wait, Eric, are you trying to say that, like, that a bunch of anti-Semites didn't want to see Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman?
It is possible that Marvel fans did not want to see Gal Gadot.
Whoa, he just called out Marvel fans.
Oh, no, I was just making a coincidence. I don't know why your brain went there. That must be something you were already seeing to make that connection on your own. That's just a...
I'm so confused. I'm sorry, Eric. You're trying to tell a joke here, and it's not... We don't know.
No, that's right. It's definitely not working.
Against white supremacy right in the beginning.
That's right.
We don't know what you're trying to say, but... Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was saying they like, other than the first scene where we see the Superman interview, the next scene is like a Muslim family mart being attacked by a bunch of white supremacists, and that's stopped. You know, it's like that's a bad thing. You know, this is all happening over again. That song, which is just about how shitty our world is right now.
That is also my bad thing about the Justice League movie is Zack Snyder's continued reliance on Leonard Cohen to sell superhero angst.
Leonard Cohen covers.
I know. That's the thing is that at least in Watchmen, he was using the original Leonard Cohen, and now he's doing the car commercial echoey female singer version of Leonard Cohen. And it's like, this is what you're supposed to hear to slow panning shots of a new Mazda right before it's supposed to burst out of the garage and onto the open road. And instead, that soundtrack is trying to sell a world without Superman.
So Joss Whedon would have done Sunshine and Lollipops over that scene?
Joss Whedon would have gone with a 90s throwback.
Yeah.
I don't think Joss Whedon would have tried to use a montage like that to establish that people were sad. I think it would have just been like in the background of other scenes.
That would have been
like,
good.
Yeah, I feel like Whedon would have consolidated that because, okay, here's something that I think really helps. I've only seen Batman and Superman on an airplane without the sound on. So when I'm seeing all these people sad about Superman being dead, I'm thinking to myself like, well, if comic book Superman were dead, people would be this sad. It's like
he was.
Yeah, exactly. And we were all super sad. It's like the Superman and Batman versus Superman. If that guy dies, it's like, didn't he blow up Congress? I mean, he's an alien. Weren't there literally people protesting like, alien, go home?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big deal. That Superman's dead. Who cares? Why is everyone so sad?
He didn't blow up the Congress. He just didn't stop it from blowing up, which is very different. It's like, you know, Charles Manson, he didn't kill anybody. It's like they did that all on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, he never said, go kill this person. He just, you know, talked to them and talked about ideas and they kind of drew a conclusion. That's, you know, I would say if you're going to say Superman is culpable for blowing up Congress, and that's like saying Charles Manson is responsible for those murders.
I've been trying to kind of tie down what your hairstyle is, and I think Charles Manson really does kind of hit the bullseye on there.
Yeah, he is one of my fashion icons. The
and you love the Beach Boys,
right?
Which he wrote songs for.
He did. He wrote a great song that is kind of weird and really freaked out the band. To the point that they changed the lyrics and took his name off of it. That got him really mad.
What song?
It's on 2020. It's from 1969. The song is Never Learn Not to Give. Never Learn Not to Love. I don't really like know the exact words, so I don't need any like high fidelity nerds coming at me.
You know way more than I do, so I'm getting a lot of education.
Yeah, no, he wrote a song called Cease to Exist. And it's about submission. Submitting to another person.
Wow.
Kind of like in the way Steppenwolf wants Earth to submit.
Way to bring it back.
To Darkseid.
But then,
and
like
Apocalypse.
But then the rest of the Beach Boys' songs are kind of like, I like candy on the beach, 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 candy on the beach. Her name is Candy and she's so sweet. She beats the summer heat. Candy on the beach. I like candy on the beach. Candy on the beach and the summertime is doing fine. Right, Eric?
Believe it or not, that song was also ghostwritten by Joss Whedon.
Now look, are we going to get into the fact that Joss Whedon, and I mean, I'm just putting this out there. He kind of made like a very good episode of Buffy with this movie. You know what I mean? There's hot guys, there's hot girls, there's like, the people are quoting jokes, and a lot of the scenes look like they were shot for television. A lot of the scenes are just shot, reverse shot, people talking in front of a green screen. So it kind of has the feeling of like a really good Joss Whedon TV movie.
Steppenwolf looks like he belongs in an angel. He'd be in a finale season long.
He's the big bad. Yes, yeah. He's a big bad. He absolutely. That's 10 tickets right there.
He's the oldest client at Wolfram & Hart.
Yes.
Yes.
That is and one of the reasons I really like this movie. Oh, by the way, here's a couple of ways to fix Aquaman. One, you say underwater he's stronger than Superman. Because we have to find a way that he's stronger than Superman without straining credulity. So it's kind of like when they're underwater, there should be like a scene where he's like, now I'm the Superman, man. And like he's punching him. Superman's like, what? And he's like, and then he goes like, underwater, I'm stronger than you. Like, he has to say it out loud, too.
Also, I mean, just on that thought alone, I mean, they keep showing him doing, like, flips in water and avoiding things in water. It's way easier to do that stuff in water than it is in air. Like,
yes.
I can do a flip in water. I can, like, you know, move my body.
Oh, there's absolutely a scene where we see Aquaman speeding underwater, trying to speed to go save Aqua Lady. And it's supposed to be like, he's flying underwater. Whoa, look at he's flying. It's like, well, but I could do exactly the same thing. I'm like, well, he's just kind of swimming. Like, I can also swim straight for a while.
He also chugged a bottle of whiskey right before he dove into the ocean. And so the implication is that he is a drunk driver.
Drunk diver?
He's a drunk diver. Yeah.
That's the name of the episode. That is science fiction. All right, boys, give your plugs and let's go to Dave and Buster's.
My name's Picard. You can find me at that name, P-I-C-K-A-R. I put out an album, a hip-hop album. It's called Free Words at freewordsfree.com/free.
So I, like Charles Manson, I like to stay off the grid, so I don't have much of an online presence, but I always take this opportunity to promote my pet special needs rescue lizard's Instagram page. He just celebrated his 5-year adoptiversary this past Halloween, and you can check out his adventures, which have not been updated in 9 months because he's not very photogenic. He doesn't like the camera. So it gets updated every couple of months at Instagram.com/IamRyback. All one word, I am Ryback, R-Y-B-A-C-K, like the WWE wrestler who wasn't as good as Roman Reigns.
Ryback would make a good Crusher Creel.
He would make a great Crusher Creel.
All right, awesome.
The poor little guy. He got like cut in half once by a rock or something.
Oh, shoot.
And then he's regrowing and he's like half a lizard. This like,
he
shouldn't be alive.
He's my cyborg. He's my cyborg.
End the show.
All right. For Eric Larnick and Jason Picard, I am Stereos Kokodos. Thank you so much for listening to Science Friction. You can get bonus episodes and early episodes if you support me at patreon.com/Stereos. I kind of wish we'd seen Thor, but I'll talk to you next time.